Welcome to XY Files Podcast. I'm Vladimir Kotlov, MD, the founder of Viedma, with a medical background in urology and deep expertise in male hormone optimization and fertility. This is episode 2 of 18 in our low testosterone series. Last time we covered what is low testosterone, the clinical definition most men and many doctors get wrong. Today we're getting into low testosterone by age. What's normal by decade? Last episode, the main point was simple. Low testosterone is a clinical syndrome. It is not just a lab result, and it is not just a list of symptoms. You need both. Persistent symptoms plus biochemical evidence. Today we take that idea and apply it to a question men ask all the time, usually after staring at a portal result for 10 minutes and becoming their own endocrinologist. What's normal for my age? Fair question. The problem is that most answers are too shallow to be useful. A few weeks ago, a man in his early 30s uploaded labs after being told his testosterone was fine. His total testosterone was in the low 300s. The lab had marked it in range. Case closed, apparently. Except he had low libido, slower recovery in the gym, less drive at work, and that vague flat-feeling men often describe badly because there isn't a perfect word for it. Nobody had checked free testosterone. Nobody had checked LH or FSH. Nobody had asked whether this was a new decline for him. That happens constantly. In healthy men, testosterone usually peaks in the late teens and early 20s. After that, it does decline with age, but much more slowly than most people think. The better long-term studies suggest total testosterone falls by about 0.4% per year in healthy aging men. Free testosterone falls faster, around 1.3% per year. That is a slope. It is not a cliff. If a man's levels appear to fall off dramatically, age alone is usually not the whole explanation. There is often help from obesity, insulin resistance, poor sleep, chronic illness, medication effects, or several of those working together like an unhelpful committee. That's why normal testosterone by age is more complicated than one lab range. Your decade matters. Your free testosterone matters. The way the lab measured it matters, and your symptoms matter most of all, because without symptoms, a low number alone is not a diagnosis. I know I sound repetitive about that. Repetition is what happens when you see the same mistake every week. Most labs report a single adult reference range for total testosterone. Often it's something broad, roughly from the mid-200s up into the 800s or 900s. That range has some value. It can identify obvious abnormality, but it is not especially good at telling you whether a 25-year-old, a 42-year-old, and a 68-year-old are each where they should be for their own physiology. A broad adult range is a smoke alarm. It is not a full-fire investigation. Think about what gets hidden by that kind of range. A 25-year-old with a total testosterone of 300 may be told, "Good news, you're normal." But in his peak decade, that deserves evaluation, especially if he has symptoms. On the other side, a 42-year-old who used to run around 700 and now sits at 350 has lost half his testosterone. Some labs still call that normal. His body may disagree. That personal baseline matters more than men realize. If you have a solid morning hormone panel from your 20s or 30s, future interpretation becomes much easier. I'm a big fan of making life less annoying for your older self. A baseline does that. It gives context when symptoms show up later and everyone is tempted to blame stress, age, or just being busy. Sometimes those are part of the story. Sometimes they're cover. Remember last episode when we said low testosterone is not just a number? This is where that becomes useful. The right question is not, am I inside the lab range? The better question is, do I have persistent symptoms, and do properly collected labs show true deficiency in total or free testosterone? Age still matters, of course. It just doesn't deserve all the blame. In the European Male Aging Study and the Massachusetts Male Aging Study, weight gain and poor metabolic health had a stronger effect on testosterone than aging by itself. I see this in practice all the time. Two men can be the same age, same decade, similar jobs, similar stress. One sleeps decently, carries less visceral fat, and his hormones have drifted only a little. The other has gained 25 pounds, snores like an old truck, has insulin resistance, maybe takes a medication that suppresses the axis, and his levels look very different, same birthday year, very different biology. This is why I'm cautious when people use age as the whole explanation. I'm 47, maybe this is just what happens. Sometimes a small part of it is, but the steep drops we see in clinic are often functional, meaning the brain to testes signaling system is intact but suppressed. Obesity, metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, poor sleep, and certain medications can all do that. In those men, the problem is not simply that time passed, let's go decade by decade, because that's how most men think about this anyway. In your 20s, you are usually in peak testosterone territory. Many healthy men fall somewhere around 500 to 900 or higher. Not every man will sit in the same place, obviously. Biology does not read social media infographics. But if a symptomatic man in his 20s comes in with a result below 400, I do not brush that off. It deserves proper evaluation. Repeat morning labs. Free testosterone measured directly by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS-MS, LH and FSH. You need to know whether there is real deficiency and where the problem starts. A lot of guys in their 20s get told it's just stress, overtraining, bad sleep, or mood. Sometimes those factors are real. They still do not replace testing. If your check engine light is on, saying, maybe it's because I drove uphill, is not diagnostics. In your 30s, the gradual decline usually begins, but this is still a very good decade to establish a baseline. Most men in their 30s are busy enough to normalize anything. Work gets more demanding, sleep often gets worse, training becomes less consistent, body fat creeps up a little. You can explain away almost any symptom if your schedule is chaotic enough. That is why I like clean data in this decade. If you feel fine, great. Get a baseline anyway. If you do not feel fine, don't assume it's just adulthood being rude. In your 40s, many men first start noticing symptoms clearly. Libido shifts. Morning erections become less consistent. Recovery is slower. Body composition gets harder to control. Mood, focus, and motivation can flatten out. This is also the decade where lab interpretation starts to get trickier. Because total testosterone may still look acceptable, while free testosterone has fallen enough to matter clinically. Published estimates of symptomatic hypogonadism in men 40 to 79 are only a few percent, depending on the criteria used. So no, every tired 45-year-old man does not automatically have low testosterone. But this is also the age where too many men get dismissed with, "That's just aging." Lazy answer. In your 50s, the mismatch between total testosterone and how you actually feel becomes more common. Total testosterone may still be sitting in a range that doesn't alarm anyone, but free testosterone can be lower and symptoms are often more obvious. Comorbidities tend to pile up. More body fat, more insulin resistance, more medications, more sleep problems, each of those can push the axis down. One of the more frustrating conversations I have is with a man who has been told for years that everything is basically normal, while he clearly feels worse and no one has done the full workup. After 60, health status drives the story more than age alone. Men with preserved metabolic health can maintain reasonably good testosterone into older age. Men with obesity, diabetes, fatty liver disease, and chronic illness often show a steeper decline. That is why the phrase normal for your age can be comforting and misleading at the same time. It may describe a population average. It does not tell you whether your symptoms are clinically important, reversible, or worth treating. Now let's talk about free testosterone, because this becomes more important as men age and it is still missed constantly. Total testosterone is the overall amount circulating in your blood. Free testosterone is the small, unbound fraction that can actually enter tissues and activate androgen receptors. If total testosterone is the money in the account, free testosterone is the part you can spend right now. Not a perfect analogy, but it works well enough before coffee. Free testosterone often declines faster than total testosterone with age. One reason is rising SHBG, a binding protein made mainly by the liver. As SHBG rises, more testosterone gets tightly bound and less remains free. But that is not the entire story. Age and body composition also independently predict lower free testosterone. That is one reason a man can have a total testosterone result that looks acceptable and still have symptoms that make perfect sense once free testosterone is measured properly. This is also where the testing method matters. Most routine labs use immunoassays for testosterone. Those can be good enough in some settings, but when symptoms and numbers do not match, I want better measurement. At Vidma, we prioritize free testosterone measured directly by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS/MS. We also measure total testosterone by LC-MS/MS. We do not order SHBG as a separate test because we are not trying to estimate free testosterone from a formula. I would rather measure the thing directly. There is good evidence that broad, all-age free testosterone ranges can hide clinically important deficiency. Healthy younger men tend to have meaningfully higher free testosterone than a mixed adult population. So a younger man can be told, your free testosterone is technically normal, while still sitting well below what is typical for healthy men in his decade. That is exactly how hidden testosterone deficiency gets missed. Clinically, when symptoms persist, we use 350 nanograms per deciliter for total testosterone and 100 picograms per milliliter for free testosterone as decision thresholds, not in isolation. In context, with proper morning testing, with confirmation, with LH and FSH, those pieces belong together. The mistake I see most often is incomplete testing. A testosterone result by itself is not a workup. If you do not measure LH and FSH alongside testosterone, you cannot classify primary versus secondary hypogonadism. And if you cannot classify it, you cannot choose the right treatment. This is not an academic detail. High LH plus low testosterone suggests primary hypogonadism. The brain is signaling. The testes are not responding. Low or normal LH plus low testosterone suggests secondary hypogonadism, or often functional hypogonadism if the axis is suppressed by reversible factors. The testes may still be capable of producing testosterone if the signal is restored. Very different situation. Very different treatment plan. I still see men tested at 2 in the afternoon after terrible sleep, with no repeat confirmation, and then given sweeping conclusions. Testosterone should be drawn in the morning, ideally between 7 and 11. Fasting is preferred. If the result is low or borderline, repeat it on a second morning. Testosterone has a real daily rhythm, especially in younger men, and the difference between morning and afternoon can be large enough to confuse the whole picture. Our standard diagnostic panel reflects that. Total testosterone by LC-MS/MS, free testosterone by equilibrium dialysis with LC-MS/MS, LH, FSH, estradiol, CBC, comprehensive metabolic panel, vitamin D, PSA in men 40 and older, insulin if BMI is above 25, and when clinically indicated, lipids, prolactin, and TSH. That is how you move from random number to actual diagnosis. Once you classify the pattern, treatment becomes rational. In men with secondary or functional hypogonadism, especially when LH is below 8, enclomiphene is our first-line approach. It works at the hypothalamus, increasing GnRH and LH, which stimulates the testes to produce testosterone naturally. That preserves spermatogenesis and fertility, maintains testicular size and function, and generally carries a lower hematocrit risk than TRT. It also fits the physiology better when the axis is intact, but suppressed. If the pattern is primary hypogonadism, where LH is already high and the testes are failing, enclomiphene is not the answer because the testes cannot respond adequately. In that setting, TRT is the traditional treatment. Vidma does not prescribe testosterone injections or other TRT products. We are a preventive men's health clinic, not a TRT clinic. Our role is a thorough diagnostic workup, medically reviewed interpretation, individualized treatment for eligible men with enclomiphene or the enclomiphene plus tadalafil combination tablet when erection or urinary symptoms are also present, and ongoing monitoring by licensed providers. And yes, lifestyle still matters. If a man has functional hypogonadism from obesity or metabolic disease, improving weight, sleep, and comorbidities can help. The problem is that the hormone improvement from lifestyle alone is often modest, and most men know that sustained weight loss is easier to admire than to maintain. A lot of lost weight comes back within a few years. That is not failure. That is just how biology behaves. In the right patient, combining lifestyle work with onclomiphene makes much more sense than pretending motivation by itself will solve everything. I also get asked about andropause. It's a popular term. Clinically, late-onset hypogonadism is more accurate. Men do not go through one universal, abrupt hormone event. The process is gradual, variable, and heavily shaped by health status. So when someone says, "I think I'm in andropause," I know what he means, but I still want the same standards. Persistent symptoms, properly collected labs, LH and FSH, real classification, no guessing. A lot of guys hear normal range and think that rules out low testosterone. It doesn't. A broad adult range can miss clinically important deficiency, especially in younger men and in older men whose free testosterone has dropped more than their total testosterone. A lot of guys think they are too young to have a problem. Also not true. Men in their 20s can absolutely have low testosterone. If a symptomatic man in his 20s is below 400, that deserves evaluation, not reassurance. A lot of guys think total testosterone is enough. It isn't. Free testosterone matters, especially with age, and LH and FSH are mandatory, because without them, you cannot tell whether the issue is primary, secondary, or functional. And many men think they can test any time of day. Please don't do that. Afternoon testing creates noise. Morning testing between 7 and 11 flowers gives you a result you can actually use. There is one more misconception worth clearing up. Men often assume that if age-related decline is real, then treatment is inevitable. It isn't. Some men have symptoms from sleep deprivation, metabolic disease, medication effects, depression, or other issues that need attention. Some men have functional hypogonadism and respond well to first-line treatment that preserves fertility. Some men do not meet diagnostic criteria at all. The goal is not to hand every tired man a hormone bottle and send him out the door. The goal is to figure out what is actually happening. So what do I want you to take from all this? First, stop treating a single lab range like a verdict. It is a reference point, not a biography. Second, if you have symptoms, get tested correctly. Morning draw, ideally fasting, repeat confirmation if needed, and make sure free testosterone, LH, and FSH are included. Without those, the interpretation is incomplete. Third, if you are in your 20s or 30s, consider getting a proper baseline, even if you feel fine. It can save a lot of confusion later. Fourth, if your labs are low, classify the cause before talking treatment. High LH with low testosterone points to primary hypogonadism. Low or normal LH with low testosterone points to secondary or functional hypogonadism. And that distinction changes everything. In eligible men with secondary or functional hypogonadism, enclomiphene is our first line approach. Next time, we'll get into how common is low testosterone and why are rates rising in younger men. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. If you've been feeling low energy or brain fog, poor sleep, low mood or motivation, weaker workouts or recovery, reduced libido or sexual performance, or unwanted body composition changes, and that sounds like you, upload your labs to Vidma for free or order labs through our special offer at vidma.com.